Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
To stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
We are back, friendos, for hour number three on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, which you could be listening to live. Maybe, I don't know, FNTSY app, maybe on iHeart, maybe even listening on the website. You can listen to that, fantasysportsnetwork.com. Or, as I know many of you like to do, you can be listening on the podcast. Just search iTunes. It's on Spotify as well, iHeartRadio. You'll find In This League. You'll probably find all of our shows, but it's pretty easy to find which one is the radio show. It's ITL on FNTSY. 3 hours that they let us sit here and talk about baseball and football and food and
Burger King fries,
Burger King. And everybody keeps asking, can we have better choices? No, you
can't.
It's
not the point.
That's not the debate.
That's right.
It's meant to be, who are the two not good fries?
That's right.
You think if I got,
you
if
have
I went
to pick
in,
between the crappy fries.
How many retweets would I need from Wendy's to get
how
better fries?
How many retweets?
Yeah. How many retweets would I need from Wendy's for them to get better fries? You know how they'll do that? They'll be like, ooh, can I have a lifetime of, what's that one guy? Ugh, I want chicken nuggets for the rest of my life. And, you know, 500,000 retweets and he gets all the chicken nuggets.
How's that guy talking?
He's like, ooh, I just want all the chicken nuggets. I love this place.
It's my favorite. I love chicken nuggets.
Who was
chicken
that?
Nuggies. He's just some dick.
No,
I don't
but
know.
What was the place that he wanted the chicken nuggets?
Well, it was from Wendy's.
Oh, it was from Wendy's?
Yeah, Wendy's is strong on the... On the social media game. They're the ones that kind of making fun of everybody.
Should I have added them on this?
do you remember? You probably could have. Do you remember earlier this year when Nebraska had lost like four straight games? And this is getting dicey because college football people get upset very easily. But
because Nebraska's not good?
Well, yeah, and they weren't good. And then they said, hey, Husker fans, don't worry. You can still get a Scott Frosty after the game or something like that. And then these Nebraska fans were saltier than Wendy's fries. They were so upset about everything. And they were taking it all out on Wendy's because they had this lame tweet. And then you had the Husker fans that were like, no, I'm a Husker fan, and this is a joke. It's really funny. You people need to get over it. But this one lady went on about, you know, Wendy's bullying them.
And then she ended up emailing the MLB about the disabled list.
Probably. You know, it's always goddamn Sharon.
Sharon's probably the problem.
Dude, I saw the perfect troll on Reddit the other day. It was someone said, oh, look, if Sharon's back. And then this lady went, you know, I think it's really crappy that people say that Sharon is always the lady because my name's Sharon. And then she went off on this big thing. And it's like, at first, I'm like, what is this lady's? Oh, I get it. Yep, I get it.
Yep.
And then, of course, the last line was, who manages Reddit? So
people are so lame. It's so
they're
ridiculous.
Funny.
I mean, they're funny. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, I tell you what's lame, though, is people defending Trey Wingo. People defending the Super Bowl.
Dude, no, not Trey Wingo.
Yeah,
Trey Wingo is lame. People defending the Super Bowl, I'm done with that. This, guess what? Breaking news. The Super Bowl was awful.
It was not good.
Horrible. I have appreciation for, we had a listener who was at the Super Bowl and like tweeted at us after we completely smashed it over on the Fantasy Black Book over on Fantrax. And he was like, I don't know, guys, this wasn't close to the bad one. This is defenses playing this. That. I'm like, it was horrible. It was atrocious to watch. And frankly, you know, if this game had been half decent, the Super Bowl would have had the opportunity to just break all the records all over the place, regardless of this. New Orleans.
Well, the whole thing was bad. Like, we've had bad Super Bowls with great halftime shows. Because, I mean, wasn't the last blowout Super Bowl between Seattle and Denver when Seattle won whatever it was.
Is that Prince? You
know, 45-8 or whatever. No, that wasn't Prince, but it was Bruno Mars. And everybody talked about how great Bruno Mars was. Prince was the Colts versus the Bears. Because that one was in Miami. Remember, it rained, and he did Purple Rain in the rain.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So
is Prince still alive?
No, Prince died. Remember?
Did he?
He had that package, the HIV.
No, I don't know why.
Why do you not remember that?
Wait, is he really?
Yes, he's dead.
He is. Before I typed it in, yeah, April. Wow, day before my birthday, 2016, Paisley Park.
Yep.
I don't know.
So
R.I.P.
R.I.P. That's right. R.I.P. So
to the symbol.
Right. So I mean, but everyone was upset that Maroon 5 was doing the.
Did you see whoever the rapper was fell off the stage?
Yeah,
I saw. That was the best part of the whole Super Bowl. Was that guy falling off the stage? What a loser!
You're killing me.
And you know what's the biggest? Here's the biggest disappointment of the whole Super Bowl too. Outkast or Big Boy. Big Boy is supposed to be great. He sucked. It's lame. Yeah. Came in a stupid car, rapped probably to a track, didn't do anything, and then he just left. What are you talking about? Stupid.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone, and then you got the people that, you know, more people being offended that Janet Jackson's nipple wasn't okay, but Adam Levine took his shirt off and his nipples were everywhere. They're talking about the nipple double standard.
Equal nipple rights.
I agree with that. 100%.
I'm full on. I would, you know what? Let's get Janet and whatever his name is shirtless on the stage together.
Yeah, 100%. Let's do it.
Yeah,
so that's the next halftime show.
I bet was that a big sect of people that were upset too?
There were the double standard nipple people.
Let me ask you something. What do you think people cannot get upset about? Is there anything that somebody can't complain about? Is there something? Like a picture of a baby?
Trying to think like the most innocuous things, but like...
Could it be like a picture of a baby?
No, because Bill Burr could be upset about that. Just think of what Bill Burr could not be upset about.
Yeah, I'd be like, why are you sharing this picture on the internet with these horrible people?
Right, yeah, exactly. So Bill Burr can make anything... upsettable.
There isn't anything.
Or Adam Carolla. Why are people showing me the picture of their ugly baby? I have to say it's cute.
I understand why everybody doesn't want to fund my movies. What's going on? Listen to my podcast, Ace of Spades. You know what I'm saying?
It's pretty good.
I got some new impressions. I got my Alex Jones.
Yeah, you got more than I do.
Adam
Sandler. Because I'm sick. I can't do anything now.
What's up, everybody? There's nothing in sports. There's no player. People get mad about Mike Trout. Literally, we have a debate in this book that is Mike Trout versus the field. And like the thought of the field will get people so upset. But then the thought of saying like, well, are you kidding me? You can't have, how could you pick Mike Trout if you have the whole field to choose from to be the number one player? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, all right, I don't know what to, there's nothing that we agree on. There's nothing that Sharon can't get mad at.
Guy, it's always back to Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon's a problem, by the way.
Sharon is a problem.
Beto tweeted us, says, can't get no fries for life if they declare bankruptcy, so gotta take Wendy's based solely on that.
Right. Because you're getting free fries for life.
I got trolled here. Our guy, MLB Moving Averages, says, well, you know what they say? A goat with a hand is worth two in the bush. I got trolled.
That's pretty good.
64% Wendy's. We're over 100 votes, so a little short period of time.
Don't you love it how we can put out a player debate there and then... Oh, yeah. I've had to block people because they think it's so ridiculous, but then we get a million votes for the fries.
I'm telling you, like, we're sitting here talking about this food debate book. If we were smart, we are sitting on a gold mine. I mean, if these people would get up off their asses and buy the book and just show that if we make content, they will support it, we could make this book.
That would be great.
We would probably get on The View. We'd probably get on Ellen because of this book.
Well, I don't think we'd get on anything because of the book. So
I think we'd get on Ellen.
You think we'd get on Ellen? Julian Edelman was just on there.
Ricky.
She shaved his beard.
No. Does Ricky Lake still have a show? She likes to eat. Rachel Ray likes to eat. We get on Rachel Ray.
I thought Rachel Ray was a horrible racist.
No, you're thinking of...
No? Paula Deen?
Paula Deen is who you're thinking of.
I thought they were both racist.
Rachel Ray?
I don't know. I don't keep up with it.
No. Rachel Ray just did a guest spot on...
I can't tell.
On Crashing.
By the way, what happened to... like midway through the season, people just gave up on caring about old player tweets. Remember how that, like, Josh Hader, you know, said a bunch of stupid stuff on Twitter?
Oh, you mean, and, like, people don't talk about it anymore?
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, they
like wound for up that player, you mean, or like searching for other players?
No, I mean, for they found other players. And then they said, well, this guy also had racist tweets. And by like the sixth one, it was like, all right, every white player had racist tweets, apparently, when they were 16. So people just gave up on caring about it. It was very strange.
Yeah, well, you get inundated with it, I guess. And then everybody deleted everything. Racists. Yeah, they just move on to the next. But see, that's the system, Boggs. That's the system, is you get infuriated and incensed about a topic, and that topic takes over until the next topic comes in. That
what you're saying,
that's how Wingo. The media controls it controls the average American by dictating the news and diverting attention from the things that are important, like our book not being available on Amazon.
That's right. Where is it?
What did Trey Wingo do, by the way?
Dude, you didn't see it?
No.
He went on this rant about...
you think I watch ESPN?
Well, dude, I don't watch ESPN.
What are you talking about?
I don't. And I saw it. Just like Stephen A. Smith saying that I think Dwayne Haskins is more of a runner than a thrower.
You know what? Okay, you want to know ESPN?
5,000 passing yards this year and 100 rushing yards. What are you talking about?
You want to know what ESPN is to me? ESPN is a 45-second clip on Twitter. That's all it is to me anymore, is pulling the
clip. What this was. He went on this big spazoid. It was embarrassing. You're calling the Super Bowl boring. Shut up. If you don't like it, change the channel to something else. But don't sit there and tell me that the Super Bowl was boring because you don't understand football. Idiots. Like, he sounded like Napoleon Dynamite.
was like really well yelling and stuff, too?
Yeah, he was screaming and ranting and raving like a lunatic.
He kind of looks like
Trey Wingo like that.
Oh, I see. He's a shut the hell up. That's what the Golic and Wingo. Is he the co-host with...
because what's his name left? Didn't he leave to do political stuff?
No, the other Mike, he just has his own show on like Fox One now.
Oh.
It's called like the...
Maybe I thought it was political because it's on Fox.
It's called like The Match or something. I don't know what it's called. It's some bad show he does with a couple co-hosts, and it's supposed to be good, and it's all about him. It's not, and I just forgot. Michael. I haven't thought about Mike Golic for a year, and I forgot. I didn't realize Trey Wingo was on it. Yeah, his face, Wingo's face,
turning
looks
red
angry.
And stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like his book didn't get released on Amazon or something.
Right, right. Like it. I understand what he's saying. Like, you know. All these people that don't watch football saying that the Super Bowl is boring.
But all the people that watch football said the game was boring.
But yeah, that's my point, is everyone that watches football said it was boring because it was boring.
It was boring.
And it wasn't boring because it was defensive. That's fine. It was boring because when you go into this Super Bowl with the number one and number two offenses in the NFL, you expect some points to be put on the board. Well, and they just weren't.
The second highest 50, of all time.
Yeah, it was like the third or fourth highest ever.
56
we went
and a half.
Yeah. And they scored the Welsh. There were more points in the Cheez-It Bowl that I went to. Remember how terrible that game was with all the turnovers and everything?
One of the worst games of all time. I saw one
ever
in the third quarter.
That game finished 10-7. That's 17 points.
In the third quarter, this is the best meme of the night. It said, Maroon 5, Patriots 3, Rams none. It was the best tweet. The game was horrible. What was better? Because you went to that awful game. Are you doing the thing like if you were at the Super Bowl, you're trying to make it like it was a good game? Are you saying that the Cheez-It Bowl was better?
I think there was more. Look, the offenses were so pathetic in the Cheez-It Bowl. That's what made that game bad. There were 9 interceptions. So the starting quarterback for TCU wound up with 24 passing yards on the game. So that game was pathetic. Like this game, no, he had, I think he was like 150 or something. So, but this game had some movement. I mean, the stupid the Patriots had drives and they just couldn't finish them. That first drive of the game, they shanked that field goal. It was a long drive. It's like 8 minutes. They were moving the ball downfield, you know, methodically, but they were moving and they just came up short. So there were plenty of drives like that for them, but it was overall just was not the most fun game to watch. And when you're, you know, your biggest stage winds up with 16 points, that's a problem for the NFL. It just is. So
Trey Wingo rants and raves.
He reigns and rants and raves and rants in the bush with the hand. Mm-hmm.
And the goat, Tom Brady.
Excuse me. I'm dying. I mean, it just didn't make a lot of sense, this rant from Trey Wingo. And he was upset that people that don't watch football were crapping on the Super Bowl. But the Super Bowl is bad. I did like...
Super Bowl is also kind of, by the way, for like the idiots too. Like the how many people that check in that don't care about football watch the game? And it's like...
Yeah, people that don't watch football all year and then watch the Super Bowl. So because they're at a Super Bowl party. So, and even the commercials weren't that great.
Like, listen, like if it actually was a good game and there was interesting, if you had like, you know, two interceptions and you had, you know, a guy with 20 tackles and, you know, Tom Brady's 20 for 20, but they just can't get scores and there's amazing stops and then people are ranting and raving about it. All right. That's one thing. The game, what was this game? 10 to 3?
Yeah. 13 to 3 was the final.
It's horrible.
And there were just like 8 million punts.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I thought Ryan Allen was going to win the MVP of the game.
The guy that won the MVP was suspended to start the season for steroids.
Right. Yeah, and that was the thing, too. People are upset about that.
I mean, I don't care about any of this stuff. I don't care about any of this stuff. I just sit back, and I am I'm a passenger in a car just looking at car wrecks all across the street as people rant and rave, get all worked up, shorten their lifespan, complaining about things that mean absolutely nothing. Steroids. Every other direction. Julian Edelman was a cheater. How can they give it to the MVP? And then the Patriot fan, what are you talking about? Everybody cheats. Who cares? You're a loser. Shut up. Who cares? Your team is the biggest winners. Why don't you losers shut up for being such winners? Everybody be quiet. Football's over. Why don't you let everybody mourn in peace? We don't have football for a couple weeks until there's a combine or something. You know what I mean? Let us rest in peace.
I'm just glad that Kyler Murray's dad decided to let him go. So
good for him. All right, we got to go to break. We'll be right back for more ranting and raving of In This League. If they let us come back, they don't try to censor us because they're trying to censor us.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Oh, the off-the-air stuff or off-the-air stuff. Too much for me. Welcome back. In This League and InThisLeague.com. There's podcasts. It's In This League Madness. You search In This League on the internet, you're going to find the website. You'll find all the podcasts and all the sports we do. Baseball is it is quite a thing right now. Two episodes a week we're doing on the baseball pod. We have got the Prospect One podcast, which are doing two a day right now. Interviews with a bunch of prospects. Just telling Boggs about an interview I just did that's going to air next week on a big guy. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, the running theme that is hopefully driving you away to Amazon to get the book. the paperback version of our 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates book, or you can get the PDF. PDF's a couple bucks less if you're not into the hard copies. You just pick up the PDF over at InThisLeague.com and support your boys. Let's have a big weekend. Amazon is screwing us a little bit on the ebook, so let's have a big weekend.
That should have been out by now. So let's go.
Let's go. Bogman, I have we should pull out another cliche. You want to do that real quick?
Oh yeah, I like the cliches.
I got the book. You want to give me a page? You can go up to like 320.
How about page 72?
All right, page 72. I'm a number.
You read all of them off of 69 because that's we did. We've done this before, and I picked that one like 9 times in a row.
There are how many are on here? There's 5. So pick 1 through 5.
4.
Ooh, cut no ice is the cliche.
I ain't gonna cut no ice.
Make no impression. Fail to sway someone. The phrase originated in the United States some 100 years ago, perhaps taken over from figure skating or perhaps from the practice of cutting ice from rivers and lakes and storing it for summer refrigeration. The quote here, what is it? Scribner's Magazine in 1897 had the figurative sentence, "And I don't cut no ice with you, whether folks call you inconsistent or not."
Ah, so what you're saying is that the Lakers cut no ice with the Pelicans in trade talks.
Swish,
look at that.
Swish on the transition. Swish. Yeah, that was funny. By the way, it was funny seeing Anthony Davis play last night.
Yeah, in a Pelicans uniform.
What was the thing, too? The NBA?
They booed the holy S out of him. Oh, the NBA threatened the Pelicans to say every game where Anthony Davis is going to be sad, they will fine them $100,000.
$100,000. What I would like is for the NBA to impose this on all teams.
Why hasn't this been being done?
All the time. Everybody spends every waking hour complaining about everything, especially how teams tank. Look at baseball right now. What is one of the biggest questions we're seeing in baseball right now? It's obviously surrounded why, the biggest question is why is Machado and Harper not signed? But the other question is filled with our teams competing. You know, our guy Eno, who's in the book, was tweeting about how he was around some of the players. He's in the Bay Area, so I don't know if it was A's or Giants or whatever, but he said a big question in this tweet, actually I should try to go find it real quick, was around players questioning competitiveness. Let me see if I can find what he said. He said, ooh, one of his tweets, he says, it was our book. He says, talking to players today, and there's a collective message emerging. Are all of the teams trying to be competitive? And what can we do about that?
Clearly not. The Marlins are not.
Could be an effective way to begin the conversation that accumulates in a couple years or culminates in a couple years. And you look at something like this. This is a drastic measure. And at the end of the day, billionaires being billionaires, what will it matter? $100,000. But the idea of NBA specific problem of tanking and just sitting players to fine all teams to fine every single team that sits a player without a legit medical reason, $100,000, I think is incredible. And then to furthermore, because they're obviously going to manipulate the system with their own doctors, is you have NBA liaisons or NBA doctors that help facilitate the, these conversations. Like they're there.
Right.
And, you know, to make sure a doctor's like, yeah, your ankle's bothering you, right? And, you know, if a player really wants to lie about it and go through the motions, I suppose they could do it. But I like the idea of this and find a way to take this same idea and throw it into baseball, because if Eno's saying that players are sitting around talking, our team's being competitive, the NBA manipulating with buyouts and sitting of players and tanking, the Zion taking, it's a sports epidemic that's obnoxious.
Well, and the worst part is the consumer, not necessarily the person watching on TV, because, you know, TV is TV. But the guy that paid for his family of four to go to an NBA game to see whoever, you know, to see the Warriors play. And because Steph Curry played 43 minutes in overtime the night before, they say, you know, we're going to sit him in this game. That's the kind of crap that I don't like is, you know, someone has paid for their ticket to go see this team. And then, you know, because they only come into town once a year, twice a year, whatever it is. And then they can't see them because the team decides to bench them because they played a bunch of minutes the night before.
Well,
that sucks.
I mean, if you remember, too, even with the Suns, when we were going to the Royal Rumble a couple of days before, we were going to potentially go to the Blazers Suns game, and Damian Lillard was talked about potentially not playing, and then Booker or then Ayton didn't even play, and I'm not even sure if Booker played.
I don't think Booker or Ayton played that game.
The Suns are, I don't know, man. The Suns are manipulating this stuff with Booker. Booker's not this hurt. He's consistently not playing. They're benching Ayton as much as they possibly can. They're just tanking this team. They are clearly tanking this team. Me personally, I can move on with my life and not care about this. And I actually don't have a problem if teams are doing this, but because it's such an epidemic and it infests our life on Twitter and the NBA and there's sponsors and there's tickets and all this stuff, there's so many issues with it, then fix it. There's a solution there. Mm-hmm. And this to me,
easy Trey,
is the beginning. Yeah. Shut the hell up. This is a start to a solution. Fine these teams a bunch of money when they do this garbage.
I mean, it's the only thing that makes, these rules enforceable is either money or picks, you know, take away assets one way or the other. And that's how you're going to make this stuff enforceable. But AD not traded the Welsh.
Nope.
We talked about this on the show like immediately after the deadline. Now that it's sank in a little bit, are you even more surprised now? Or are you less surprised that AD didn't get moved?
I guess I'm less surprised. I mean, the Pelicans were just trolling the Lakers. That's all they were doing. I don't think they ever spoke to him, or you know, the occasional what was the conversation? They're like, here's our offer, and they're like, we want six picks. Give me six of them. Seven beers? Like that type of thing. They just kept going, and then they just stopped returning calls. They were trolling. Maybe there were some other calls being done, but now that you hear that, like, a decent part of their agenda.
The Pelicans
agenda
were like a petty fantasy owner.
Totally. I think I said it on the pod, Box. I appreciate it. I totally appreciated the pettiness that they had. But like, now that you know that it was a lot about trolling, and I'm not sure they were so serious about it in general, I'm not surprised knowing the information we have now. I did think he was going to get traded because I thought the Lakers would push all their chips in, which is exactly what they did. But we didn't know that the Pelicans wanted no part of it. They did not care. And they think, obviously, they're going to be able to hold out for a better deal.
Yeah, I think it stemmed a lot from the LeBron stuff, which I kind of thought was ridiculous earlier in the season. When Anthony Davis went to dinner with LeBron and, the media said, hey, would you like to play with Anthony Davis? He said, of course I would. He's a great player. I would love to play with him. And then the Pelicans wanted LeBron fined for that, for tampering.
Say it all like low tone, like you just like, yeah, I want to play with
him. Yeah, of course I would. Yeah. He's amazing.
Well,
he's my favorite player.
Is he like wine? Nobody loves wine like LeBron.
Do you like wine?
LeBron likes wine like I like Stella Artois.
When did you start drinking Stella?
2 weeks. I swear to God, the first time I had that Stella was on that mock episode we did. First time I ever had a Stella.
And you just like Stella now, or just have it in your fridge?
I didn't love it when I had it.
And when, why did you buy it? Like, did you buy it, or did someone bring it to you? Like, where did the Stella love all of a sudden crop up from?
You
swayed by their great marketing team?
Well, no, this was before the, because remember, the commercial hadn't released that Stella stupid, Artois. Yeah, the stupid Lebowski commercial was Stella. But it's called Sprouts. It's like a Whole Foods out here in Arizona. And they've got, you know, they have like some imported beers and stuff. And then they've got like a big bottle, not like a normal, you know, beer bottle one. It's like a
bomber.
Yeah, like a bomber. It's like a big one. I've always looked at it. And then the other day I was like, I'm going to just get it. And that was for the mock. I drank it. It was all right. It was fine. Then I decided to do it one more time. And then my taste buds had, they had settled in. Now I like it. And this is what I keep buying. I moved
now
on.
Now it's your beer.
It's
Stella.
My beer. Yeah. Stella Welsh.
Stella Welsh.
The Stella Artois. Is what
the Stella Welsh.
Just like LeBron now has bragging rights on wine, I get Stella. That's okay.
Okay. All right.
That's totally fine.
The whole point was to solve that. That's still a problem. That was the whole point of this whole segment.
Oh, okay. I was like, where else were you going with this? You were going
Have anything else for this. All I wanted to do was get to the root of Stella Artois for the Welsh.
I do have a take on this, which I think is interesting, and I'm curious if this lays out one thing that could be one of the reasons behind this, and follow me here, is a team like the Pelicans, where nobody wants to play there, apparently. AD doesn't want to. Porzingis didn't want to. Jrue Holiday only wanted to because of AD. The Pelicans, long-term, their best play might not be to get 12 pieces of quality. You know, 12 solid pieces. You know those trades everyone wants to sell you on? I got these four guys for this. It's one amazing player you have.
Right.
But for a team like the Pelicans, they would be better off trying to go find one piece that could then lure other free agents there. Hence, I come back to the Boston Celtics and Jason Tatum. Getting a guy like a superstar like Jason Tatum to come in with maybe a pick and something else, they can then take Jason Tatum and they can sell him on free agents to come in or to keep a guy like a Jrue Holiday.
But you're not selling
Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma to anybody.
But the question there is, of course, why would the Celtics give up Jason Tatum if Anthony Davis has said that he's not going to re-sign to play? Is this just a pushing your chips in? Because I believe after next season, Jason Tatum is a restricted free agent, which is still harder to pry away than a regular free agent, of course. But
no, it's just one of those things. If obviously Anthony Davis would have to be willing, and maybe that
you just think that the Pelicans are holding out for the option.
Yeah, if the Pelicans are pissed off at the Lakers, they didn't like that deal. There might be an ultimate. I mean, really think about it. That might be an ultimatum that is on that team or an agenda to say,
right,
this is great that you can give me all these pieces, but here's what we need. We need a star that can be here. We need someone that is going to attract free agents. Kyle Kuzma or Brandon Ingram will not do that. And it's not easy to find like what the Suns did with Devin Booker, where people want to come play with Devin Booker. I mean, they view him as like this future star in the league. What the Pelicans need is they need to go get a young asset that maybe doesn't quite like the jump from Anthony Davis up from Jason Tatum is massive, but they've got to have some reassurances.
But it's still better than anything that the Lakers were offering.
But
I agree with you. Plus, I think that in the offseason, more teams could become an option.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's, you know, because right now it's just basically the Lakers bidding against themselves. And AD did that kind of to himself by saying that the only team that he would sign a long-term deal with is the Lakers. And now, of course, he backed off that and he said, you know, he would sign with the Bucks or the Knicks or the Clippers, but they didn't have enough to get Anthony Davis.
And none of those
just didn't make a lot of sense.
And I don't think any of those work for the agenda that the Pelicans would want. I mean, if what does Davis have a year after this year?
Yeah, next season.
And you're saying Tatum has this next year, and then he's a restricted free agent after that. So
I believe so. Yes.
All right. So if the Celtics might take a look at this, knowing where they are financially, what if they said, "Hey, listen, we would do a straight up trade of Jason Tatum with one extra year to get this 1 year of Anthony Davis to push all of our chips in." Though the problem is Kyrie Irving could be gone, and that changes the tone. Would they be willing to sacrifice some of the young talent if Kyrie is gone? But maybe it is. Maybe because Kyrie's gone, they push the chips into a guy
like
Tatum.
And there's going to be other free agents that they could possibly get as well.
Yeah.
So
whatever it is, I ultimately think that played a role in what the Pelicans did. Is that
agree 100%. I think the Lakers being the only team really bidding on Anthony Davis is what aggravated them.
Yeah.
And I think this problem was, I think this is Anthony Davis's fault. I don't think, you know, a lot of people want to blame LeBron. I don't think it's LeBron's fault at all. I think it's Anthony Davis and his group saying the only team I'll sign a long-term deal with is the Lakers is what caused him not to get moved this offseason. Because the Lakers know that they don't have to give up everything that they possibly would if AD had never said that. So I think he kind of hamstrung himself.
This is a weird situation. The entire trade deadline, the trades in general, you know, I mean, Marc Gasol getting traded, the Raptors team is interesting. The 76ers are the one that blew me away with what they're doing. Not only, I mean, were they able to acquire, they essentially have a four-star team now. They think they're going to be able to re-sign all of those players. They're getting all of these players to buy in. It's ridiculous. And If they re-sign Tobias Harris, they re-sign Jimmy Butler, they're going to do this game where you're going to have players that get bought out. They're going to do this thing that I hate about the NBA. They're going to do the buyout thing, or they're going to get the veterans that the Golden State Warrior treatment, as we call it. Guys that are like, ah, I'll play for $1 million to come play with that team. Who's not going to want to go play with the 76ers if they keep putting that team together? And how they were able to acquire Tobias Harris like they did. The 76ers, I mean, to me, I think they're the most dangerous team in the NBA right now. And I'm not saying they're the best. I think the most dangerous team in the NBA on the trajectory that they have been for other teams. Who would want to face the Warriors? Well, I said the Warriors are the best team. I'm saying the 76ers, I think, are the most dangerous team right now, just in the trajectory and the talent that they've brought on.
Well, all those teams but the Celtics made a move. So that, I mean, that's kind of significant. You know, you saw the Bucks bringing Mirotić in there in first. You saw the Raptors bringing Marc Gasol. That's a huge get for them. And they're right there in second. So, I mean, the Sixers aren't even in, they're not even in a top seed yet. They're fifth right now in the East. So they still got to kind of get the chemistry going. Now, they won big last night. So that was good for them with all their new pieces. But they still kind of have to get it going. They got to get up to one of those spots, those top four seeds, to get home court, at least in the first round. So I do think that they're probably the best team in the East right now, but they still have some growing to do because it's more than just getting the players there.
Yeah, well, the trade deadline had lots of funny elements of it. Oh, Bogman, star of the internet, too, appeared on a little live broadcast for the trade deadline.
That's right. I was on hoopball.com, their live NBA deadline. So that was a lot of fun.
Very impressive. All right. We got to go to break. Final segment coming up, so you don't want to go anywhere. We'll give you some new comments coming in on the Fry debate. We've got some new results on there. And we'll see, did Amazon publish the ebook version of our book in the time that we've been talking?
Oh.
We're going to find out when we come back from break.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is in the...
In this league.
In the dark.
Welcome back. The final segment of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The endless love for ITL. It's our shout out to our former producer, Chris Pavona, in his rejoin. So we always play it in honor of him.
Love Chris Pavona.
That's right.
So, did Amazon make the book available for purchase on Kindle?
Nope.
No. Nope. Okay.
That's a nice setup
that you had. Nice push. And I was like, well, I wouldn't be saying this unless it happened, but it didn't. You tricked me.
Big sell. Did it get published? Nope, it did not.
Sure didn't.
Maybe send a couple more emails to Amazon that they'll tell me I got to wait 5 more days. So
now, how concerned are you for real that it just isn't going to get up there?
Legit, because
I'd like to
actually quit that and restart it somehow, because I feel like it got caught in limbo. It's like the Russian Doll, if you've watched that on Netflix.
That's good.
I watched the whole show in one night.
Wow.
It just got me, and I shouldn't have done it. And, you know,
is it really good, or is it like weird good? Like, how would you describe
it? It's weird good. It's pretty good. I watched it because I was like, I could just watch one or two of these and go to bed. And then it's really trippy. If you've seen the trailer, there's a Groundhog Day-ness to it that they obviously experiment with.
Yeah,
You know, they're like, in the trailer, she gets hit by a car and then she wakes back up.
Phil.
Yeah, she's like, what's going on here? And it caught me. So, and they're only 25-minute episodes. So I watched the first two, and then I was like, I'm going to watch a little bit of the third one, then go to bed. And then it was like episode three, they dropped something on you, and I was like, ah, damn it. So then I watched a little bit more, and then eventually it just, I was like, all right, I'm at six, I'm going to stop. And then they did something, and I was like, all right, I guess I'm just going to do the whole thing. So I watched the whole show. Yeah, it's fine. It's a good show. I think it's quirky. It's weird. It's got some trippy stuff in it. I like trippy stuff. It's dark. It's like a dark comedy. The humor isn't great. It's a lot of forced humor, but when it avoids the humor, it's really good. Like the girl, what's her name? Natasha something or other?
I don't know.
Girl from American Pie.
Sure, yeah.
She's like the lead in
it's
it.
Not Natasha Leggero.
No. She has some really bad jokes in it. Like, but she kind of plays it off. You know, she's this like quirky, you know, like a dark comedy Jewish girl.
Quirky.
But that's how she is. That's like, that's her thing.
Saying quirky, like she's chunk.
She's better in like the serious role that happens throughout it. The comedy is kind of blah.
Okay.
It's kind of blah. So what I'm saying is our ebook is somehow stuck in this loop. And it's not publishing because Amazon said after you do it, 72 hours. We are far beyond 72 hours on the ebook.
Well beyond 72 hours.
12 hours it took for the paperback.
We have boldly gone where no book has gone before.
Yeah. I hope it just cancels out so I can resubmit it and then somehow it's not caught in the loop and it comes back. So, yeah.
Very strange. I started watching, so dumb, The Orville. The Seth MacFarlane like space show.
He really likes that. By the way, he loves that show. I heard him talking on Marin, and he's not proud of anything more, I think, in his life than Orville. And that's
it's good. It's surprisingly good, and it's a little more serious than you'd expect it to be. You know, you see Seth MacFarlane, and you expect it to be pretty funny. And there's definitely some funny parts, like they're trying to teach this this robot how to do practical jokes, and he he saws this guy's leg off. And it's like, ha ha, I got you, you know. So that I mean, there's little funny bits in it like that, but it's kind of like a Star Trek, you know. It's a little bit like that with you know, a little less drama and more humor, but there's definitely dramatic parts in it too. So.
Are you going to read any fan fiction for?
Well, I've never. No, I'm not a fan fiction person. So you keep trying to put this fan fiction stuff on me because I like Metal Gear Solid, and a lot of people do fan fiction.
Well, and your Star Wars fan fiction.
Well, yeah. Well, I've read Star Wars books. It's not Star Wars fan fiction.
Yeah, like fans wrote books about Star Wars, and you purchased. No,
authors wrote books like our about book. Star Wars.
We're authors.
Yeah, but we're not fan fiction novelists or whatever.
Fantasy fan fiction.
Yeah, none of that. I'm not a fan fiction person. So,
okay.
I mean, it takes enough for me to go read a book. I'm not going to read it by some, you know,
whoa, what are you saying about reading a book? What are you against reading a book, author?
No, I'm not against reading a book. What I'm saying is it takes enough to get me to go read a novel.
What would it take
I'm
not for you gonna, to read a book? I don't know.
R-E-A-D-A-B-O-O-K.
99 Debates or something?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's not, you know. That's a book per se, but that's more of a, you know, it's a draft tool. It's not really, I wouldn't consider it like, you know, I'm not waiting for chapter three to see what happened with that character. Yeah. I know in the end, Francisco Lindor hurts his calf. So,
you know, the ending,
I know the ending of that one. It's you draft him too high and you're very upset. That's how it ends.
Yeah.
So. But no, it's decent. I wouldn't say that it's the best show in the world, but it's something you can throw on in the background while you're, you know, writing your book or waiting for Amazon to submit your book into its system.
I could get through the whole series then.
You probably could.
I might start a new series. I might start Vikings or something. Maybe I'll get through the whole series before that book is open.
Vikings looks good.
I watched part of the first season. That's fine.
You know, Josh Donaldson was in an episode of Vikings, apparently.
He looks like a Viking.
He does. Yeah. Definitely does.
Update on the big debate of the show. Yeah, the poll. And I reiterated as a comment, just so people understood, because a couple people kept being like, death. And listen, this debate is about the worst fries. You're not voting for the worst
fries.
This
is what the Welsh will do to me. He'll be like, you know, this horrible thing for the rest of your life or that horrible thing for the rest of your life. And I'm like, well, none. I don't want to do any of it. He's like, no, you have to choose.
Yeah, it's important.
And I'll say, no, I don't have to choose because you just said this. And he goes, no, no. You have to choose.
You do.
These are your choices.
That's important.
You don't get anything else.
It's important for my well-being to know the answers to these type of questions. It's, yes. It's very, very imperative.
Apparently.
And the question sits around which is the best of the two worst fries. Because Wendy's and Burger King clearly are the worst fries. And somebody might be like, blah, blah, blah. Like, there might be a little place. I don't eat a Carl's. Who eats a Carl's Jr.? Do you eat Carl's Jr.?
Carl's
Jr.
Yeah, I do.
How are their fries?
Not great. They're subpar.
Okay.
I put them.
Does Arby's
have
fries?
They're probably in the mix here. Yeah, but Arby's has curly fries. They're usually solid.
Okay. So these two are the worst fries on the planet. So potentially a new book we might have, the 99 Food Debates, if everyone goes and buys our current book and shows us they like our work, we might do that. The big fry, the big fry off,
big fry debate of 2019
will happen at some point. But the poll is: if you could only have one of these fries for the rest of your life, which do you choose? This one made me laugh. Remember, I told you Beto said can't get no fries for life if they declare bankruptcy. Somebody commented under and just went, bro, like they just like, bro, that was harsh. And that made me laugh. We are, I don't know, what is it, like 150 votes, and Wendy's fry. Ooh, there's a Wendy's commercial as I am doing this. I'm looking over here. It's a sign. Wendy's fries 65% over Burger King.
Yeah, I mean, the results are not surprising.
Burger King's fries. The Burger Jester.
You know, I feel like there is some Burger King related prejudice built into this question.
Really?
Because Burger King is, you know, like the one guy said,
creepy,
famously closing up shop in places and doesn't look good for their future.
Yeah, because they're bad.
Right.
No one eats their food. There are just
look,
like
I'm
television.
Not saying that it's wrong. I'm saying that the stigma is already there with Burger King.
Here's
like, because they're already going under, everything they have must be bad, which is not the case. They do have decent things, but
no, it's all bad. See, here's the deal. We're in a place in our life now, and this comes with the everybody complaining about stuff. Here's part of the reason why that is going on, too. This is psychology we're breaking down here. It's because we have too much good of everything. Guess what? Mediocre shows that we would have watched 15 years ago that would have been littered on television, those are not even good enough for YouTube right now. Those shows aren't going to make it on YouTube. There is too much good content that we digest between HBO and Netflix and Hulu and Prime.
You refuse to digest Burger King because it's subpar.
If you sit down, we have too many options. Every day Netflix drops something
new.
Don't
give me that. I don't agree with
or
abide by that.
But let me finish. Netflix every damn day is dropping new stuff. I have a laundry list of shows I have to get to. If I put on a show and it sucks and it's garbage, I'm out. I used to be the guy that would finish everything. No, but
you have many, many options and then wade through the stuff and see what you like?
12 years ago, when that show that's been on for 30 years now, oh God, what is it on the WB? The two brothers.
Better
that
than
are
being
hunting
a communist.
Supernatural was one of those shows I just kept watching. It was not good. I just kept watching because I was semi invested, and everyone would say, like, that's interesting. That show, garbage. If I see a show and it's not good acting and it's bad written, I'm out. There's too many options. The same thing goes with the food. Why? When you and I were kids, it was like McDonald's, Burger King, Jack in the Box. Maybe you would go to Taco Bell if it didn't blow up your toilet. That was it. The options weren't as good. Now, all the options are too good. There's too much good food. There's gourmet places now. You can't settle for
garbage.
Are
you saying there's too much good stuff?
There's too much good stuff, and that is also why everybody complains, because there's too much good.
Isn't that Carl's Jr. Line?
Yeah.
Too much good stuff.
There's too much good, and everybody complains because everybody has it too good. There's no suffering.
I don't think anyone has it too good. I think... you know, it is ridiculous that people would complain about, you know, the poll that we put out where it's like, well, can we get something better than these choices? Well, no, these are the choices you have in this. Now, you can choose not to answer.
That was our childhood. Right. This poll identified our childhood. Hey, guess what? There aren't any other choices. We got to deal with this. But that's not the
thing.
But
you
anymore.
Sound like you want fewer choices. Like you just want like someone to decide what the TV show is. Like here's the TV show that everyone's going to watch.
No.
Boom, here you go.
No, I don't
want
that at all.
That's what it sounds
like. No, what I'm saying is there's too much quality out there. No longer are we going to give anybody our time if it's not good. There's too much. Why would I waste my time on a show like what's your show, The 6 Feet Under? Like, that was a pretty solid show. There's too much good stuff out there. The show's not compelling enough to pull me in to go watch it. Now, Sopranos is a completely different situation. You can't have anything half-assed. You just can't. They're talking about rebooting Lost. I mean,
you know, what's funny is you're talking about all this time, and the reason that I go to Burger King is because these other places have too many people in line, and I want my time, so I'll go to Burger King to get some, you know, it's lesser than Jack in the Box, but I don't have to wait in line 30 minutes to get it.
But you know
it's
what?
10 minutes, and then I'm eating.
Only reason you care about that is because you have a job where you're on the road, but guess the other thing that you do? You order Postmates and Uber Eats all the time. It's just a matter of time. Will you ever
because in I
your
like
life,
my time. I don't want to go get it.
Ever in your life order Burger King from Postmates?
No.
Have you ever? You do Postmates stuff. Have you
I've
ever
ordered
seen,
Wendy's.
Have you ever seen somebody order Burger King on Postmates?
Oh, yeah. I've delivered Burger
How many
King
teeth did they have?
They had all their teeth. It's actually to a very rich house, but it was clearly for the kids. You know, I was like, well, I was waiting for this lady decisions. To turn around and hand it to her dog, to be honest. Like, I was like, what are you doing? This house is worth like $4 million.
Feed your children Burger King.
You're getting Burger King here. And
I feel bad, by the way. I feel bad the slander that's happening here on Burger King.
You are slandering Burger King pretty good. By the way, the funniest part was I went to this Burger King and I told you it's these miserable people that work there.
I hope they don't advertise here.
And I was like, hey, can I get this? And they're like, we don't have it. I was like, okay, what about this? No, we don't have that either. So I had to like makeshift these people's order.
What do you have?
Because half the stuff that they ordered, they didn't have. Like it was just different types of drinks. They're like, no, because they're like you and they had too many options. So they got rid of them. So they only had like 6 different drink options.
Too many options.
Like you get Coke, Diet Coke, Dr. Pepper, root beer, orange. That's it.
So I'm saying there's too many options. Doesn't mean Burger King can't change. Doesn't mean they can't work it out. They've got the branding. They've got all of that stuff. But no, we can't settle. We don't do it in any capacity of our lives anymore.
Would Burger King just be better if the fries were awesome?
Yes.
Like if the fries were awesome and everything else is mediocre, it would be worth going, right?
Absolutely. They'd be McDonald's.
We just found the formula to becoming a successful fast food place. Just have good fries.
Salt.
It's salt?
It's salt. Just salt
it's
your
too
fries.
Too much salt.
Make better fries. Stop making them so thick and squarey. You know what they should do? They should do what those restaurants do. You know those like super thin fries that you get at a restaurant and you judge and you're like, ah, those are not going to be good. And then you just demolish them. That's what they should do. They should go those nice little thin, crunchy fries.
Shoestring fries.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay.
Why can't they do that?
I mean,
how passionate are we about that?
Yeah, maybe you should be talking to them about this.
Can we do 1 minute of sports in this segment? Should we?
No, I don't think so. I think we've got enough fries and TV shows to finish off the show.
Okay, we're just finishing the show off here. I think as we're walking away from this, you'll have some time to vote if you're listening to this on Saturday at least. But Wendy's is going to walk away with this, 65%.
Yeah, and that's not shocking at all. I just think that perhaps Wendy's is winning the fry debate. Because people disrespect everything else at Burger King already. It's not just fries there. I think this vote may go beyond fries is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. There might be Russian collusion is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that there's collusion. I don't think there's enough fry bots out there. But I do think that people disrespect Burger King overall because of the negative connotation that comes with Burger King.
I don't know. Well, I mean, we could settle all of these with the 99 Food Debates book. It's in question. It's out there. Hey, next week we'll come back. We'll see what the masses start to say. If you speak with your 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates book purchases, maybe we'll make some fun content. But please go check it out on Amazon. Paperback version. You can have a physical copy in your hand over at Amazon. $11.99, I think it is. Or go to our website at inthisleague.com, and the PDF is less. It's under $10 if you just want to have that. Either way, you're supporting the content we're doing. We deeply, deeply appreciate it. And it's pretty cool. Industry guys, Eno, Jason Collette, Paul Spohr, Joe Pisapia. I mean, the list keeps going on and on. Baseball writer there, Alex Chamberlain. There's tons and tons of great people that are in it. So you'll get a kick out of it. I think it'll help some of your decision making. Each judge, three judges per match. You will like it, and we will like you a long time for supporting it. That is the episode. Come join us over on the ITL pods later this week. Otherwise, we'll be back with you next week. Bogman, should we say goodnight now?
I'm going to Burger King.
No, you can't do that.
I'm going right now.
You gonna post a picture?
Yep.
That's it's gross. All right. There you go. Bogman's going to Burger King. You hear it first. We're out.